to come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. So this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he's quoting the prophecy of Joel. And he said, this is the fulfillment. In other words, the last days have begun. The last days began on the day of Pentecost, nearly 2,000 years ago. And Peter is quoting Joel's prophecy, saying it was being fulfilled, that in the last days, as God pours out His Spirit on His people, they'll have visions and they'll have dreams. And he said there'd be supernatural signs. Praise God. So we're going to be looking at how God works and how He guides and how He protects and how He provides through the means of angels and dreams and visions. And of course, you know, if you've been around here very long, you know that we emphasize, and as we should, that the number one way that God leads us as His children is by the inward witness. Yes. It's not by a dream or a vision or an angel, but it's by the inward witness. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And so the number one way that God leads us is by the inward witness. And I know, you know, Dad Hagin used to always say that a lot of times people are looking for the spectacular, and in doing so they miss the supernatural, because being led by the Spirit is supernatural, even though it's not spectacular, right? And we also know that we're not to seek a vision, we're not to seek a dream, we're not to pray that an angel would appear to us and tell us what to do. But on the other hand, we should be aware and we should be open to the reality that God does speak in these supernatural and spectacular ways. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I know Dad Hagin told a story, and I couldn't find it. I didn't really do a lot of research, but I don't know if it's in any of his books or not, but I heard him tell it several times in person. He talked about years ago that a Pentecostal denomination was considering removing one of their pastors from the ministry. And the reason that they were going to kick him out of their denomination was because he claimed that he had seen an angel. And the angel had communicated some things. He'd received some guidance through that angel. And so the council of that denomination got together, and they met, and they were talking about it. And there was like an elder statesman, an older pastor or leader that had been, you know, among them for years and years. And he was the oldest one among them. And finally they said, "Brother so-and-so, what do you think about it? What do you think we ought to do?" And he said, "Well, folks, gentlemen," he said, "I'll tell you." He said, it really doesn't bother me that this pastor, that our brother has claimed that an angel has appeared to him and has shown him things and told him things. He said, "What bothers me is that in all of our denomination, of all the ministers around, he's the only one that's experiencing anything like this." Yeah. Amen. He said, "We ought to have it more." He says, "Besides that, if we take this away from our people, what are we going to give them in place of it? What are we going to give them to take the place of the supernatural?" Amen? So I thought that was some wise counsel that he gave. Again, we're not seeking these experiences, but yet on the other hand, we need to be open to them. And the reason that I'm talking about it is, you know, before the first coming of Jesus, there was a flurry of angelic activity, of dreams, of visions. And I believe it's going to be the same before the second coming, just before the second coming of Jesus. And you know, we're hearing reports of it. I've read a couple of books and heard testimonies about especially among Muslims in the Middle East, about how the Lord is appearing to them. I think the numbers I've heard are as high as 25% of all the Muslims that get saved, Jesus appears to them in a dream or a vision. And I also, when the Keatons were here, I talked to them about that, and they had an opportunity. They were invited by Reza Safa. See, some of y'all remember Reza Safa, who's our friend who's ministered here in this church and before, and we've supported him. Reza is was a former Shiite Muslim, was born and raised in Tehran, Iran, and he got disillusioned with that, saw that that wasn't, you know, promising any real hope and peace, and so he left Iran, escaped, ended up in Sweden, encountered some Christians there, and got saved, and now he's a great evangelist, and in fact partners with TBN. And has an entire network, TBN Najat TV, that is broadcasting back into Iran in the Farsi language and the Farsi-speaking people that are around the world. He's reaching them. But anyway, Reza invited the Keatons to come several years ago. I remember about this. I'd forgotten they were involved. But to go to Turkey, and they had a pastor's conference, a minister's conference believer's conference for Christians in Iran, and they were able to get out of Iran into Turkey because at that time, and I guess it's still that way, they could travel freely into Turkey from Iran. And so they went over the border and got into Turkey there and had the conference, and the Keatons were talking about most of the folks there that were leaders, believers, and they were leaders from Iran. Most of them, Jesus had appeared to them. They had had a vision. They'd had a dream. And Jesus had appeared to them. I remember Reza talking about one time that a person that they ended up getting involved with from Iran, he had a dream. And in this dream, his friend was talking on the phone, and the friend handed him the phone and said, "Hey," he said, "Jesus, this is Jesus on the phone. Jesus wants to talk to you." And so he got the phone, and then he woke up, but he remembered the number that was on the phone, and he dialed that number after he woke up, and it connected him with Reza Safa's ministry headquarters in the United States to a volunteer, a prayer partner that led this man to the Lord. So supernatural things like that, and God's doing that. Amen? Praise God. So we're going to be talking about all of that in this series. So let's talk about the ministry we're going to talk about first of all tonight. We'll start talking about the ministry of angels. The word angel is mentioned 199 times in the Bible. And angels, plural, is mentioned another 93 times. So that's 292 times that angel or angels are mentioned. And then they're called by other names as well, referred to in different places. So it's in the angels are in the Bible a lot. Amen, is my point. And you remember, we'll start with this. During the time of Elisha, the prophet, when Elisha was prophet, God would speak to him and give him revelation about where the Syrian army was going to attack Israel. And so Elisha would warn the king of Israel, and the king of Israel would be able to have his troops there in waiting when the Syrian army thought they were sneaking in, and the Israeli army would be there to defeat them. And the Syrian king says, "We must have a spy among us. Somebody's telling the king of Israel, you know, where we're going to be when we come and attack." And they said, "No, we know who it is. It's that prophet Elisha. God shows him what you say in your bedroom, king." And so he said, "Well, I better do something about that." And so he sent an army, the Bible says a great army. He sent a great army down to the city of Dothan, not the one over here in Alabama, but Dothan in Israel at that time, because that's where Elisha and his servant were staying. And so the Syrian army comes down to Dothan to capture Elisha. And Elisha's servant Gehazi gets up one morning, walks out the door. He's going to go down to Chick-fil-A and get breakfast for him and Elisha. And so he opens the door and he looks out and he sees all this huge army, you know, occupying the city of Dothan. And he goes back in and he said, "I'll ask, Master, what are we going to do? There's a great army out there. And so here's what the prophet said in 2 Kings 6, verse 16. Elisha says, "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. What is he talking about? He's talking about the angels. And Elisha prayed, verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So not only were there angels, but they were riding in chariots and horses of fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the angels were there before Elisha's servant's eyes were opened and he saw them. They were there already, weren't they? You may never see an angel, but that doesn't mean they can't work on your behalf. I said you may never see an angel, but that doesn't mean they can't and won't and aren't working on your behalf. Amen? Praise God. They're with us, and they're more, and they're greater than those who are our enemies. Amen? Praise God. In Psalm 34, verse 7, we know that angels, God sends His angels for divine protection for His people. Amen? That's one of the functions of the angels, is they provide protection for us, for the people of God. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. I remember my kids had a children's book written by, I think it was Charles Capps' daughter, Beverly Capps Burgess. The name of the book was "Do Angels Go Camping?" And it was all about, it was based on this scripture, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them." Hallelujah. In Psalm 91, you know this, Psalm 91, verse 9, it says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." And say, "Pastor, I don't like that verse because the devil quoted it to Jesus." Well, don't let the devil spoil it. It's still God's word. All right. Just because the devil misapplied it doesn't mean we can't rightly apply it.
That's right. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Praise God. He gives His angels charge over you.
Yeah.
Amen. You should say, "He gives His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we know He did that for Daniel. We know He did that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, right? Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bound them up, tied them up, and threw them into the midst of the fiery furnace. And then he looked in and he said, "Did we not throw in three men bound?" And they said, "True, O king." And he said, "Well, I see four men loosed."
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Walking around. "And the form of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Now, the King James says like the Son of God. He wasn't talking about Jesus because he didn't know who Jesus was. But he said he's superhuman. Well, it was an angel. It was an angel in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shielding them from the power of that fire. And the Bible says on whose bodies the fire had no power.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Why? Because that angel was there. Encamped around about them, delivering them. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, we know He did that for Daniel. He delivered Daniel. We're going to look at that in Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel 6, verse 16. And again, this is the account where Daniel was promoted and had favor with the king at that time. And all of the other rulers and leaders in the kingdom were jealous of Daniel. They were not Jews, and they didn't like Daniel because he was a Jew. And they didn't know why they hated him, but it was just the devil, that anti-Semitic spirit that's been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
And they hated Daniel. And they wanted to get rid of him, and they said, we're not going to find anything to accuse him unless it's concerning the law of his God. In other words, we've got to pass a law that's contrary to the law of his God. Right. And get him, and that's the only way he'll violate the law. And so they did. So they went to the king, and they said, you know, king, you know, we're thinking, you know, in honor of you, we want to pass a law that anybody who prays to anyone except to you, O king, over the next 30 days, they should be thrown into the lions then. King said, sounds good to me. Signed off on it. And so then he didn't realize what he had done. And when Daniel heard that the law was signed, what did he do? He said, well, I'm not going to pray for 30 days. Lord, you'll understand, won't you? No. The Bible says, as his custom was since early days, he opened his windows and turned toward Jerusalem and knelt down and prayed 3 times a day. Hallelujah. Amen. And sure enough, they caught him. He wasn't going to be quiet about it. He wasn't going to try to fly under the radar. And so they caught him and they said, king, here he is. And the king thought, oh no, what have I done? What have I done? And so the king, they said, it's written in the law. It's been sealed. You can't change the law, king. And they held him to that, those wicked rulers. And so verse 16 of Daniel 6, it says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. He wasn't really speaking that in faith, but he was speaking it in, oh boy, I sure hope so, because this is going to make me look bad if Daniel dies. It's going to all be my fault. And so he had a sleepless night. The king had a sleepless night. He didn't sleep at all. So Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. They seal it up where he can't get out. They put the seal on it so nobody can break that seal. If it's broken, then they'll know somebody's tampered with it. So they put the seal on it. And so king has a sleepless night. You know, when the sun's up, he rushes down to the lion's den to check on Daniel. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice. Did he see? He wasn't really in faith because he was crying out with a lamenting voice. Oh, Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. Think about that. Think about what that angel did. The angel comes down there, those lions are there, and the angel just goes, come here, kitty, you know, one by one, and shuts their mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. Praise God. And you know the rest of the story, that after Daniel came up out of the lion's den, then the king said, okay, these guys that plotted against him, let's round them up and their families, and let's throw them into the lion's den. And just so you know, it wasn't because they just had a weak batch of lions at that time. Before they ever hit the ground, they were devoured by the lions. All right. But Daniel was protected. Why? Daniel says, my God sent his angel. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the New Testament. So that's great, but that's all in the Old Testament. Well, let's go to the New Testament. Let's look at the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is put in prison. The Bible says in the earlier verses in Acts chapter 12 that Herod arrested James and put him to death. And it says when he saw that pleased the Jews. See, Herod, everything Herod did was just political calculation. Yeah. He had no conscience. He had no principle that he stood on. It was all what's going to benefit him politically. That's what I like about President Trump. He's not done one thing out of political calculation. Right. All right. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter gets arrested by Herod. How did we get off on that? Well, everything Herod did was political expediency, political calculation, what's going to be best for him politically. When Herod arrested James, executed him, and he saw that pleased the Jews. He said, okay, I want to do something else to please the Jews. Now I'll arrest another leader of the church. I'll arrest Peter. So he does. So verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out. Now Herod wasn't going to bring him out and release him. Herod was going to bring him out and execute him. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. Do you think you'd be sleeping if you knew the next day you were going to be executed? That's faith, isn't it? I said, that's faith and trust, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, that's the way we should live. I said, that's the way we should live. That night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, the very first record ever of an automatic door. Glory to God. There it is. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain. His side was hurting a little bit where the angel had smote him. Now I know for certain. Oh, this wasn't a vision. This is real. My side's hurting. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Praise God. So an angel was involved in protecting Peter and delivering him from certain death and execution.
Amen.
Amen. I believe we're going to have testimonies of that. We already have. Even some of these folks I was telling you about, some of these Muslims that have been saved in the Middle East, they've had encounters like this as well where they've been arrested and where the Lord has supernaturally delivered them through angelic assistance and intervention. Amen. Praise God. But notice this, the angel was dispatched to deliver Peter because constant prayer was offered to God for him. That is not insignificant, that note that's made in the Scripture, that constant prayer was offered to God for him. Now, they didn't pray specifically, we don't know they did, that God would send an angel, but they did pray and an angel was sent.
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. So God sends his angels to protect and to deliver his people. Amen. And then also this, you might want to write this down. Angels bring revelation and answers to prayer. Angels bring revelation and answers to prayer. Praise God. So in Daniel chapter 9, now this is during the reign of Darius, when Darius was king. And that's the same king that when Daniel went into the lion's den was King Darius. All right, and so in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9, we'll pick it up there. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, what was Daniel doing? He was praying, wasn't he? Speaking, praying, confessing his sin and the sin of his people, presenting a supplication before the Lord for the holy mountain of my God, for the plan of God and the will purpose of God and for Israel and for Jerusalem. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. Well, was Gabriel? Gabriel was not just a man, but he was in the form of a man. That's what he's talking about here. Gabriel, we know, of course, is one of the archangels, one of the chief angels. The man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth. Why? To give you skill to understand. What's he doing? The angel is bringing revelation. The angel is bringing revelation of God's plan to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. And I have come to tell you. So here's what happens. Watch this. So Daniel prays. And when Daniel prays, a command goes out from heaven. And when the command goes out from heaven, an angel is sent.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
A man prays.
Good.
A command goes out. An angel is sent.
Amen.
A man on earth prays.
Yes.
A command goes out from heaven. An angel is sent.
Yes, amen.
Thank
you,
hallelujah. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And we won't get into it, but that's one of my favorite passages, that vision that he gave him. It's recorded in verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Hallelujah. And he begins to talk about the end times unfolding. And so let's go to chapter 10, and we'll see Daniel. This is during the reign of Cyrus. So this is much later, or this is some time later, because Cyrus was the king who issued the decree for the Jews to be able to be released and to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. All right. So Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, and verse 1, it says, during the reign of Cyrus, he says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. We could also insert the word fasting there. That mourning was actually fasting is what he was doing. And he tells us in verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth. It was a partial fast. It wasn't a complete fast, but a partial fast. Nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. I lifted my eyes, in verse 5, we'll skip down to verse 5. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Euphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Pretty amazing being that he's describing here, right? And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. So the angel appears to him in a vision, okay? For the men who were with me, there were some other men around him, they didn't see the angel. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them. They knew something was, so it was, they sensed the awesome presence of the Almighty. They sensed the awesome presence that something supernatural was happening there. They didn't see anything, but they said, let's get out of here. And they did. A great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, verse 8, therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. I mean, it's like this experience with this angel appearing to him was such awe and so powerful that it just drained all the strength out of Daniel, and he's laying there on his face, with his face to the ground, in a deep sleep. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And so we know about people falling under the power. Here's somebody that was laying prostrate in a deep sleep, and a hand touched him and popped him up on his hands and knees.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Like Brother Hagin says, we think it's something when folks start falling under the power, wait till he starts setting them up.
Uh-huh.
Boom, 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 boom. All right. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. Notice he makes the same comment that the angel made in chapter 9.
Yep.
The angels are just astonished at how much these human beings
yes,
are loved.
Amen. Yes.
Think about that. Think about that.
Amen.
Think about that is a remarkable trait that they see
yep.
in all of this. And chapter, the Bible says they in the New Testament, Peter said they longed to look into these things of redemption. What would it be like to be so loved by God that He would send Jesus to die for you and to save you and to bring you into His family and call you His very own child, not just His servants like we are, the angels are saying, but children of God, sons and daughters of God. Woo, these people, these human beings, they're greatly beloved. Glory. Isn't that good? Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. All right? So again, he's coming to do what? To bring revelation to him, right? He said, I want you to understand these words that I'm about to say to you. So he's going to bring him revelation. Verse 12, he says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So how long had Daniel been praying and fasting? 3 weeks, 21 days, 21 days. The angel said, On day one, when you begin to fast and to pray, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. He didn't say, I've come because of God's words. He said, I've come because of your words. Well, certainly he came because God sent him, but God sent him because of Daniel's words. A man prayed, a command went from heaven, and an angel was sent. Amen? Here we see it again. Hallelujah. And I've come because of your words. The angel was sent because Daniel prayed and spoke words.
Yes.
Do you think angels could be dispatched when we pray and speak words of faith?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
21 days. He said the first day, the command was, he said, I've come. He said, your words were heard on the first day. I've come because of your word. He said, why took you so long? Why the delay? Verse 13, he tells him. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. He's not talking about the natural physical king of Persia, of which there was one. Cyrus was the physical king. He's talking about a demonic principality in the realm of the spirit and the unseen realm that Daniel was praying and fasting for those 21 days, that angel was, because Daniel held on and didn't give up, that angel still had that command burning in him to get through. And so he was able, this angel, we don't know his name, but with the help of Michael came. It says Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, to help him fight through the demonic opposition. And he got through to him, and got the message and the revelation to Daniel. Oh, how the devil tries to stop the plan of God. How he tries to stop revelation of the plan of God from coming forth. But our prayers, if we'll stay and if we'll continue in prayer, then the angelic hosts are working and will prevail. Amen. And the answer will come. And the will of God will be revealed. And the plan of God will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right, verse 18. We'll skip down to verse 18. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. I want to point this out. Angels strengthen us. God sends angels to strengthen us spiritually. One having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, oh man, what?
Greatly beloved.
Yeah. Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Hallelujah. So the angel speaking those words came forth from that angel, just went into Daniel and strengthened him. Well, we know that happened to Jesus, right? In Luke 22, Jesus is praying in the garden before his crucifixion, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Verse 43. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We also know that Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, and early in his, when he began his ministry, the Bible says that when he resisted that temptation by speaking the word, that the angels came and ministered to him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. All right, back to Daniel chapter 10. We'll go to verse 20. Then he said, the angel said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." The angel here is prophesying what's going to happen in the future. We know from looking back in history, after the Persian kingdom, it was the Babylonian kingdom, and then the Persian kingdom arose after that. After the Persian kingdom arose, then it was the kingdom of Greece under Alexander the Great that came shortly after that. And so the angel is giving him, telling him what's about to unfold in the future. Verse 21, "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." So again, he refers to Michael and he calls him. He says, "Michael is your prince, your prince." What does he mean by that? Well, let's go to Daniel chapter 12, and we see a little bit more about that. Daniel 12 and verse 1, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people." Who would that be? Well, think about it for a minute. It is the people of God, but specifically, Who was Daniel? Daniel was a Jew, wasn't he? Daniel was a Jew. Michael is the archangel, the great prince, that yet today, because he's talking about, this verse is referring to the tribulation period. That in the tribulation period, the archangel Michael will stand up and he will protect along with the legions under his command. The legions of angels under his command, he will stand up and he will protect and he will defend the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, because he is the great archangel that stands watch over the nation of Israel and over the Jewish people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So isn't this exciting? Amen. So again, though, notice our connection in this. It's not just, okay, God, if you want to send an angel, you're sovereign, it's up to you. No, we have something, we have a part to play, a very real part to play in this. And our prayers and our declarations really have something to do with it. See, the church, remember, the church was praying for Peter, right? Constant prayer was made for him by the church, it says. And the angel came and Peter was delivered. Daniel was praying through all of these situations here. Here's another one that we didn't look at tonight. We won't look at the scripture, but remember Abraham, his intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. God says it's time. There's been an outcry come up before me because of these cities, and I'm going to have to bring judgment. And Abraham interceded because he knew that Lot and his family were down there. And he said, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 in the city." And he began at 50 and worked his way down to 10. And God said, "If I find 10 righteous, I'll spare the city." Well, there wasn't 10 there, but the Bible does say this. It says that the Lord remembered Abraham and he sent the angels and they got Lot out of the city. Lot and his daughters escaped. His wife would have. She got halfway out and she decided to look back, turned into a pillar of salt. But Lot and his daughters got out. Remember that? Amen. And the angel got them out. And the angel also said, told them where to escape to. And he said, "Hurry." He said, "Because I can't do anything as far as bringing judgment until you're at a place of safety."
Yes, amen.
Because Abraham interceded, because
amen.
Abraham prayed. Hallelujah. Here's a good promise for us, a good point. God will deliver those for whom you are interceding, even if He has to send angels to do it. Amen. God will deliver those for whom we are interceding, even if He has to send angels to get them out. Thank you, Lord. In fact, let's pray for that. Let's pray about that right now. If you have loved ones, friends, family that you're praying for their salvation, for their deliverance, whatever it may be, let's just believe God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.